you remember how Paul, in the New Testament, in his letter to Titus, he quotes a secular voice, and he calls that person a prophet. It's in Titus chapter 1, verse 12. You know, even one of their own prophets has said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. Okay. And we share that just to remind that this is not to say that Paul is considering that comment divine inspiration. Paul is not making any judgment about whether that Cretan speaker's faith is this or that. Paul is simply concurring with the assessment. Now, you can read that and argue, well, that's not really a nice thing to say. Paul goes on to agree. You know, he will say in the scripture, this testimony is true. Okay? So, it is my hope that you will hear what I am about to share regarding the TV franchise The Bachelor in the same manner, okay? I believe the testimony is true. Actually, I never thought I'd be concurring with The Bachelor. I do not watch it. I don't even recommend it. Nevertheless, I was intrigued by an article, a young woman named Kelly Lawler, she's in her mid-30s, and she was writing about it, caught my attention. These are her words. All eyes are happily on Jerry Turner, 72, the retired restaurateur from Hudson, Indiana, turned the very first senior citizen to anchor ABC's long-running Bachelor reality dating franchise, which got a mature glow-up for the fall 2023 season. The Golden Bachelor may sound more like a punchline than an actual TV series, but by golly, they've found, well, gold. And Jerry and his 22 potential partners, all between the ages of 60 and 75. Who knew what reality TV really needed was emotional intelligence, life experience, and maturity? And then she says, actually, wait, we all know that. So I'm going to step out here. As we're continuing in this series, Generations, and especially looking at the elder, there's a premise that there's so many facets of life that you do not stop encountering, struggling with, simply because we're older and hopefully wiser. Back to her words. She says, Turner is a widower. His wife of 43 years died in 2017. He isn't vapid or shallow like some of his bachelor predecessors who can barely conceal a desire for fame and fortune. When he talks about why he joined the show, you believe he's looking for love. His voice breaks when talking about his late wife, Toni, his emotion leaping off the screen with a grief relatable to so many of us. Similarly, the female contestants are no naive ingenues. I had to look that one up. Naive or unsophisticated young women who are looking for first serious relationships. In their sixth and seventh decades, these women have lived and loved already. Many of them have also lost a spouse, like Turner. They know what they want, and they are surprised and grateful that they get the chance to dress up and fall in love again with such pomp and circumstance. Especially when the pervasive cultural stereotypes about women over 40 make them appear and even feel dried up and unlovable. Says the first tears in the Bachelor Mansion are shed not because of invented TV cataclysms, but because one of the contestants is unexpectedly reminded of her late husband. Now, again, I'm not a fan of their concept. But at times, secular culture finds itself longing for and, in a way, championing the very same things that Scripture steers us toward all along. Because we're coming this morning to this third installment, and it is exactly what the Bachelor franchise longs to create, which is relationships. And what does the Word of God have for us as far as potentially improving our relating abilities? And if you fill in the blanks, we have two upper blanks this morning, 1A and 1B. 1A is relating to our blood family. By that I mean biological. Our blood family, my biological family, everybody can do this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate, do this mentally, how would you rate, 10 being good, your current relationship with, I'll give you these five, any of these that apply to you. with your spouse, your children, your parents, your grandchildren or grandparent, whatever side of that you're on, and your siblings. How would you rate that 1 to 10? Just kind of think about that. We often, when we're talking scripture examples, we often use Grandma Lois, Mom Eunice, and the impact that they had on young Timothy in the New Testament. They exemplify the power of a godly relationship. Now, you may have seen this short clip of a flower girl. We're going to play the clip, and I'll narrate the fine print for you. Behind these doors, this wedding's flower girl is about to walk down the aisle. 74-year-old Carol Ann is a flower girl for the bride, Kaylee. She's also Kaylee's only living grandparent, making the moment all the more special. I decided this is a good example of the relationships that we're talking about. Now, this is an example. It says, while working for an organization that delivers lunches to elderly shut-ins, I used to take my 4-year-old daughter on my afternoon rounds. She was unfailingly intrigued by the various appliances of old age, particularly the canes, the walkers, and the wheelchairs. One day I found her staring at a pair of false teeth soaking in a glass. As I braced myself for the inevitable barrage of questions, she merely turned and whispered, "The tooth fairy is never going to believe this." Just familial relationships are just so entwined in everything we do. If you go back to 2 weeks ago, we had the account from 2 Samuel 19, and you've got this old man, Barzillai, staying engaged, and he is trying to provide for David and company. If you recall, David is inviting Barzillai to cross the river with me. Come over to the palace, live in the capital, new chapter. Barzillai declines. He says this, "No, let your servant return, that I may die in my own town near the tomb of my father and mother." Relationships. "But here is your servant, Kimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king. Do for him whatever pleases you." Most scholars believe that Kimham is Barzillai's eldest son. It's his boy. He says, have him go. And the king says in response, he says, "Kimham shall cross over with me. And I will do for him whatever pleases you. And anything you desire from me, I will do for you." Just the relationship between Barzillai and Kimham, father and son, is impacted by the exchange between the two dads. Later in 1 Kings 2:7, David is now on his deathbed, and he charges his biological son, Solomon, with showing kindness to Kimham, Barzillai's son, all his family. The connections. Scripture, pages of scripture, just like society, is filled with the impacts of family relationships. So they are worthy of our efforts and our attention. And 1B there, I would put this, relating to our blood family. It's not a typo, it's the same. Our blood family. By that we mean biblical, or our family through the blood of Jesus. You know, when I talk about David and Barzillai, some of those cross over. You know, some of the relating between the generations, between the fathers and the sons, is impacted by the relationship between the two dads. You know, David and Barzillai. They exemplify what I hope we can enjoy here. You've got fathers and sons, or mothers and daughters, people who don't share DNA, but they share devotion to God. In our day, it was Russ Taft singing, "You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us. We're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand." You know, united in faith. There's, a very fascinating account in the Old Testament. It's in 2 Kings. It's also in 2 Chronicles. Those are just two parallel accounts of the relationship between Jehoiada, who was an older priest, and Joash, who was a very young king. And the account, if you can follow this, the account begins with Joash's father, Ahaziah, who was a wicked young man, and he's on the throne when we're in 2 Chronicles 22:2, and it says Ahaziah is 22 years old when he assumes the throne. And his mother encourages him to do evil. Okay, so you want to talk about relational impact. There it is. That's her frame of reference. Well, Ahaziah is killed, assassinated. And verse 10 records his mother's response. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she proceeded to destroy the whole royal family of the house of Judah. So that's what she does to her family. And she gets them all. Save one. Little 1-year-old Joash, her grandson, step-grandson, who is whisked away by Jehoiada and his wife and company and hidden in the temple for 6 years. The rightful king, while his treacherous grandmother is out here ruling. And finally, the day will come, Jehoiada will lead a coup. He will install little Joash, who is now all of 7, as the king, the rightful king. And they will pursue the wicked grandma, put her to death. And King Joash rules and reigns well as long as Jehoiada is counseling and coaching him. It's a very impactful relationship. These two guys are not related by blood, but by bond, you know, by faith. Full transparency, if you read the rest of the story, sadly, Joash will make some very poor choices later in life. You know, without Jehoiada there, we're just left to speculate. What might have been if Jehoiada had been able to influence for a little bit longer? But I just wanted to share that section, that portion of their story, you know, to help us appreciate the links to which folks who fear God can be a help and do help the biblical family grow in our relationships to God. I hope that is a concern. I hope that's a priority for all of us. It was for Peter. Here is Peter, 2 Peter 1:13, facing his own brutal death, and his concern is for other people. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Now earlier I asked you to evaluate scale relationships with parents, siblings, kids, blood family. How about the people in the room? Biblical family. Look around if you need to. How would you scale these relationships? The more a great number of biological families disintegrate and struggle and frustrate all around us, the more necessary it is we need our multi-generational siblings in here. What happens? This is hypothetical. I don't know these people. But what would happen if an anxious young person made a nursing home visit? Let's say he or she is a senior and they need the hours to graduate, and they are assigned a nursing home, and this anxious young person walks into the nursing home room of a bitter old person. How's that going to go down? You know, first comment, you know, enjoy it while you can. You know, well, I'm not really. It only gets worse from here. Okay, great. Nice to visit with you. I'll be leaving now. You know, and that's an extreme, but to make a point. Where am I? A Christ-like character cannot be faked. Young people are very sensitive to hypocrisy. Old people are sensitive to it too. If they can sense our faith is sincere and our love is authentic, they'll respect us. They'll take us seriously, even though they know we're not perfect. So I'm just considering these to be somewhat blurred bloodlines. These are efforts that I hope are applicable to both families. And I feel like this segment, these applications are a lot like compound interest in the financial world. I'm mostly talking to the older generation, those of us who it You know, it's an imperative that we take the lead. But if you're younger, if you're listening to this, if you can apply this now, if you can learn these lessons when you're young, your bankroll's just going to grow. You know, all the more compound, you'll be so far ahead down the road. So I listed four. I chose four necessities, we'll say. If I'm going to improve my ability to relate, and one is opportunity, which ironically Drew was speaking about somewhat. Barzillai and David. Barzillai made a choice to go and provide David's people, and that gives these two guys an opportunity to connect. But somebody, and we'll talk about that. When David is sensing that his own death is approaching, that's an opportunity for him to speak to his son. You know? And calling hours are like changing a lot these days. Just the frequency and the timing and before and after, and a lot of times they're shrinking, and you know, we're trying to figure out all that. You know, the older folks who might be able to come, and younger people are thinking, you know, I'm at work, and what's best, what's an opportunity for my blood family, what's a good thing for my biblical family. If you have that opportunity, there's an opportunity to go and work on our relationship. Jehoiada has an ongoing interaction with this little King Joash, right? That provides ample and consistent opportunities to impact this little guy. And you're going to say, yeah, but now you've got this old man and his wife who have this 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old running around underfoot constantly. And we'll get to that. I'm never going to say this is easy, but am I on the lookout for opportunities? Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. If you want simple softball opportunities to relate to your biblical family, stay for lunch on the 29th. It's the fifth Sunday. Come and have lunch. I always suggest that you sit with somebody you don't know. And please don't remind me that you don't do very well. I know, I can tell you don't always do it. You don't have to remind me, but try anyway. You know? Another opportunity, Thanksgiving. We're going to do that this year on November 19th, that Sunday. Same sit down, only with turkey that time. So, with your blood family, you know, maybe Halloween's a big thing for some part of the family, and you have an opportunity to somehow build a relationship. Thanksgiving is on the 23rd. Christmas is how many Sundays away? 10. You know, 10 Sundays. In a day to Christmas. Non-holiday opportunities, we'll call it Friday Night Lights. You know, you can be out and interact with the community. Local community, next Sunday, the 22nd, is the chili cook-off at Black Star. If you drive through Alexandria and you wonder what the deal is with the grain bin and the yellow chairs and the wooden barrels, you know, they have a spot where they're fostering opportunities, and they have four festivals a year, and you can rent that out, etc. But next Sunday, you could go up there and interact with people. And I know when you're, especially outside stuff, there's all these factors. What's the weather going to be? I got to weigh that. How tired are we? How jam-packed is the schedule? I'm never going to say strengthening relationships is painless. Is it worth it? And I just heard a lady in this room say, well, my niece commented the other day that she's making an effort. She's doing well. And she said, well, I've had good examples. And she listed, said aunt and uncle, as positive examples. It's the seeds taking root. Now, improving my relationships is also going to require initiative. David initiated all the preparations for building the temple. It was his idea. When we had Isaac and Rebekah, they kind of had conflicting ideas on the blessings, but they initiated, both of them, the ideas. In this account with Jehoiada, it is the old priest who takes the initiative. At the end of chapter 22, verse 12, and the beginning of 23, he, Joash, remained hidden with them at the temple of God for 6 years, while Athaliah ruled the land. In the seventh year, Jehoiada showed his strength, which is, he put this together. He has to make deals with the commanders. He has to get a bunch of the priests to help. He says, I need you to surround this boy and physically protect him. They're going out there. Athaliah's run around in the street. Treason, treason. And they take care of her. You know, there's a ton of initiative, and you know, real risk. If this goes south, you know she will kill him. Initiative. And I might have to overcome some inertia. Physics lesson. You know this. A car is easier to steer when it's moving. Especially if the motor's running, the motor being your heart in this. Starting friction is greater than sliding friction. What's on your list? You know, oh yeah, we'd love to do this. It would probably build this relationship. Nah, we just haven't taken the first step yet. Prayer. Take the initiative. This for all the relationships. Don't let out of sight, out of mind, be true in praying for your kids or your parents or your grandkids or your grandparents. Younger people, you want one to take home. If you have grandparents, pray for them tonight. Pray specifically, don't just general terms. Pray for their desires to do good, to make good choices. It is not a given that everybody who's elderly always makes good choices. If you're struggling, if anybody has broken or difficult relationships, how long are we going to wait for the other party to make the first move? You know, taking the initiative. The longer that goes, the more it's going to hurt. I don't make the attempt. It just festers, you know, burr under the saddle, whatever your image is, and weeks become months and months become years, and pretty soon the hurt just grows. If you're in the wrong, admit it. I saw a cartoon of a guy. He's sitting there watching the game, hand in a bag of snacks, dog bone sticking out of his mouth. And the bag of snacks has a picture of a puppy on it. And the two girls in the doorway behind him are laughing. And she says, yeah, Sean's so stubborn. He refuses to admit he ordered from Chewy.com instead of Grubhub. And he's just sitting there eating it because he doesn't want to admit that he's wrong. If you're not in the wrong, which is all of us, right? These two verses, Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. Make every effort. Have I made every effort? Make every effort to live in peace with all men, to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And I had a picture I was going to put in of a root of a tree that's gone under the sidewalk and the whole thing's just jacked up. Is it time to start digging up the bitter root? Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And most of us probably never get past those first four words. Oh, it's not possible. It's not possible because of them. They. Okay, maybe true. Have I gone as far as I can go? And if I'm poking at this sore spot, I know I am because I'm the guy that always ends up in the room behind closed doors after a family member dies suddenly and now parties want to find healing and it's too late, to be blunt. Coming to the third one. Reminding cost. Sacrifice. It's going to take sacrifice. In a biological family relationship, for sure. In a biblical family relating, there's going to be cost. I am not standing here saying do A, B, C, D, and it'll be easy. Saying if I attempt A, B, C, D, it'll be worth it. And I know people are straining under responsibilities, caring for people. How many 60 and 70 year olds, do you know, they have their own issues that they're dealing with and they have elderly parents for whom they care. It's a lot of people. Grandparents raising grandkids. So a lot of people, extended multi-generations living under the same roof. This was 2007. Pew Research declared that 1 in 10 kids lived with a grandparent. It's probably more now. I'm not saying it's easy. None of this is easy. But with the Spirit of God, the power of God is possible. Billy Graham, his father-in-law, was an active doctor and a medical missionary. Now, that's his wife's tombstone that I showed you. And you may have wondered, what's the Chinese character? Billy Graham has a cross on his, and his wife has a Chinese character on her tombstone. It is the Chinese character for righteousness, which is actually a combination of two characters, lamb over me. That's the lamb over me. That's Chinese for righteousness. And that's what Ruth had because her dad was a medical missionary in China for years and years. Reached thousands of people for the kingdom. And her mom, his wife, becomes ill. Very debilitating strokes. Confined to a wheelchair. needing constant care. And Billy said, a lot of people said, look, we won't fault you if you put your wife in a nursing home and continue this very outstanding work. He said, no. He said, I'm giving all that up. This is my calling now. You know, I'm cared for every day. And that's sacrifice. Who said this? And I'm pretty sure I've shared this with you before. You may already know. It's good. Who said this? I've told them the same things I tell my kids, the boys, the girls, the same thing I tell our players. That's a clue. Our staff members. I encourage them if they have a pregnancy that wasn't planned to go through with it. Let that unborn child be born. If at that time you don't feel like you can care for it, if you don't have the means or the wherewithal, Sarah and I will take the baby. Any player on our team, female staff member, anybody in the family, extended family, anybody that doesn't feel like after they've had the baby that they can take care of it, we got a big house. There's another clue. Harbaugh added, remember that? We'll raise a baby. That's Jim Harbaugh. That's his attitude. So I say, well said, coach, even though you're from Michigan. Uh-huh. What does it take to have that stand? It takes sacrifice. And that takes conviction. And I thought Coach Harbaugh's comments about abortion makes me think of this issue one that's coming up on the ballot. You're very aware. We should just be praying for what is ongoing in Israel. You know, can't stand by and just say nothing while innocent people are slaughtered. It's really easy to be afraid of that. Well, if I say too much from the pulpit, if you say too much online, if you say too much at work, you might get called out. You might get doxed. D-O-X, that's a term I had to learn. Dox, that's the definition. Search for and publish private or identifying information about a particular individual on the internet, typically with malicious intent. And I had an example that was all blacked out. Hey, so-and-so, do you and your husband still live at 303 da-da-da-da in such-and-such, Texas? Just wanted to share that with all the people who may disagree with your opinion on the NRA. You know, that type of stuff. That can happen. And maybe some of us are going to be, man, that sounds like a younger generation problem. I don't deal. It could be any of us. Our families, grandkids. You know, when you risk taking a stand, and it might bring tension to the family. Well, am I willing to act with conviction? And a couple weeks ago when Barzillai is bringing these provisions to help David and his family, that's conviction. Because he runs a risk that if Absalom wins that whole battle, that could turn out really badly for him. Jehoiada standing up to a very wicked queen, obviously. If that doesn't go the way he wants it to, he will surely be killed. You know, and maybe it's a little bit easier to get amped up when you, let's talk about conviction for politics and terrorism. But what about at home? Grandparents? Grandchildren? Do I have equal conviction when it comes to impacting a relationship at home? I'll give you this twice. I didn't write down who said it. I should. Listen to me. I know my values are different from yours. But my values helped me to help you become who you are. Listen to me. I know my values are different from yours, but my values helped me to help you become who you are. I can see some older people. I know you disagree with me, but look who you are. And a lot of what we believe came into you being who you are. Society has belittled the impact of the aged, and the elderly have too easily relinquished the role without much thought. So there's room for improvement for all of us. And some of this conviction piece probably comes down to you got to decide, what do we say, which hill am I going to die on? That might be a conversation you need to have with the people you're closest to. And for all of us, that would be the person in the mirror, right? If I go home and look in the mirror, ask myself, where do I need to be more convicted? In my family relationships? Second level, if some of us are blessed to have a good close working relationship with a spouse, we better be on the same page. The two of us. Where do we need to stand solidly with conviction in the family and draw the line here and say, this one matters. And much of this questioning, encouraging regarding relationship comes down to my relationship with Jesus. How convicted am I that I need Jesus? How willing am I to admit my relationship with Jesus has the greatest impact on all my other relationships? And Wayne Cordero illustrated it this way. I'll finish with this. He says, when I was dating my wife, Anna, one thing that I admired about her was her love for sports. I love sports too, he said, but there are two sports I don't like. Forgive me if you like these, but I don't. The first one is bowling. He says, I don't understand it. You pick up this cannonball and you throw it on this beautiful maple floor that's tilted and it goes down and it disappears. Thank goodness. He said, but then boom, it comes back. And he says, so you pick it up and you throw it down there again and it disappears and you're happy and boom, it comes back up. He says, all night you're trying to get rid of this thing. And finally, when you get rid of it and you go to leave, they make you pay for throwing the ball down on the ground. He says, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He said, the other one's roller skating. Four wheels, none of them turn, and they expect you to go around in circles. He says, this is a true story. On our first date, I knocked on Anna's door. I was so excited. I said, where would you like to go tonight? She said, do you like bowling? And she picked up her own bowling ball and she put it in her own bowling bag. He says, now I was in love. And she asked me if I liked bowling and my answer was, I love bowling. And we went bowling all night and we had a great time. And the next week I knocked on her door and I said, where do you want to go this week? And she picked up her skates. She said, you want to go skating? He said, I've been waiting for months for somebody to ask me to go skating. I love skating. And we skated all night. I look back now on it and I think, what made it easy for me to change? Did I have to work up this thing to change my desire for bowling and skating? Nope. It was because of my relationship with that girl. Because of the love I had in the relationship with her, change was easy. The power to change is predicated upon your relationship with God. How often do I think, God, that's what you're asking me to do is really hard. It's hard to change. Do I just grit my teeth? No, the Lord says, why don't you just come closer to the cross? Why don't you let me restore and renew my relationship with you? Let's pray. Father God, we are grateful for relationship. Sometimes they teach us what not to do. Sometimes we grieve mistakes that we and others have made. Sometimes they are a great source of joy and blessing and connection and peace. And usually most of them are all of the above. And we just pray that we would be mindful of opportunities that we have to interact, whether it's our family at home, our family at church, it could be our family at work or the team. Father, relationships are not a given. There is work. We battle sin and struggle, ours and others. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for constantly being up to the task. And we pray that we would remember how our relationship with you is that which must be first and foremost. And it provides us the renewed energy we need to take into these other relationships this week. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.